This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Archer. A serial arsonist may be at work in the San Fernando Valley after several fires overnight. The Turpin siblings are suing Riverside County after suffering abuse in a foster home. But first, an apparent suspicious package either in or near the federal building in downtown LA. It's creating major traffic problems during rush hour. Pete DiMatteo is on the scene. He joins us live.
This has been happening since roughly about 3:15 to 3:18 this afternoon. The original call, a suspicious package in the 300 block of North Los Angeles Street. That's right in front of the federal building here and right near the Roybal Courthouse. Now, they've shut off at this point Los Angeles Street between roughly about Spring Street and I would say actually from Temple and First Street all the way over here to Aliso Street. It's about a two-block stretch. It's also tying up traffic in a number of different directions, not to mention off the 101 freeway itself. The Alameda off-ramp is shut down so people don't come up, get on to Los Angeles Street, and then wind up right in the middle of where the bomb techs are trying to work. Again, all they're saying is a suspicious package at this time. No indication whether they've gone on up to do any kind of a close examination or use a robot to get close to it. Again, we're about 200 yards away at this time. Traffic in the downtown area, you can imagine, for the streets all the way surrounding the federal building in the 300 block of North Los Angeles, fairly well tied up. If you can, turn around and go in the opposite direction. That's all the advice I could give.
All right, thanks, Pete. The Turpin family already went through a lot with the 13 siblings being rescued in 2018 from torture and abuse by their parents at their home in Riverside County. But some of them were sent to a foster home where they were abused again. The foster dad was sentenced Friday to 7 years in prison for child abuse and lewd acts on a child under 14. His wife and daughter got 4 years probation each. The attorney representing some of the Turpins says they're relieved with the punishments.
All of them acknowledge that the Olguins did horrific things. And in many cases, as I've said before, and I quote, what happened in that home was worse than what happened in their biological parents' home.
He says the Turpins are not happy with Riverside County and ChildNet, the private foster care agency assigned to protect them. They're suing the county and ChildNet over placing them in such a terrible home. Neither has commented on the lawsuit. More recorded remarks making political waves in L.A., Craig Figner reports.
She wants to put Councilmember Kevin DeLeon out of a job and represent downtown Los Angeles, talking about candidate Isabel Jurado. Last week, during a Meet the Candidate forum with about 10 young people at Cal State L.A., she was asked about KDL's use of what's known as discretionary money to help pay for more cops in downtown Los Angeles. That's his district. In answering, she quoted a line from a song by the group Rage Against the Machine. It includes use of the F word, and, well, it's not kind toward police.
What do you think about Kevin DeLeon's discretionary fund spending on overtime for police?
Yeah. What's the rap verse? F*** the police, that's how I see him. Rage Against the Machine.
I guess this is a confirmation of where she stands with regards to the issue of public safety.
DeLeon says he was stunned to hear the recording.
I'm shocked. It's profoundly disrespectful, highly irresponsible, and immature.
The voters of Los Angeles finally get to see her true colors. She's anti-police.
Jamie McBride, who reps the LAPPL, that's the rank-and-file cops union, they've endorsed Kevin DeLeon.
Her response was, F the police. Like, she wouldn't give any extra money to the police. Obviously, we want somebody that's going to take care of our citizens in Los Angeles.
Usually, candidates, in my experience, when they have something to say that they might not like something, they'll use more polite language. Were you surprised by at the bluntness?
Yeah. F*** the police, that's how I see him. Rage Against the Machine.
This just shows the immaturity and unprofessionalism that she displays. I think that's dangerous.
And we have reached out to Jurado for comment. Haven't heard back yet. Also, stay tuned. We're going to get more reaction to the story live in just a few minutes when we talk to a local political analyst. Arson investigators looking into a string of fires in the Sherman Oaks area, and they started last night around 10 o'clock. The last fire reported around 2 this morning. Some vehicles, a building, and rubbish were set on fire. LAFD Captain Eric Scott says this all happened near Ventura Boulevard.
Now, the LAFD Arson Counterterrorism Section, in coordination with the LAPD, is actively investigating the cause of these incidents and any possible connection between them.
And no injury has been reported because of these fires, at least not yet. Hundreds of mental health care workers with Kaiser Permanente on picket lines in Southern California on day one of their strike. Karen Adams reports from outside a Kaiser hospital in Hollywood, where hundreds of people have been marching and rallying.
All you see here outside Kaiser on Sunset is red. Hundreds of mental health workers with their signs held high on the picket line. Some elected officials came out to show their support. Other unions showed support. And lots of drivers laying heavy on the horn. I spoke with Cassandra Gutierrez-Thompson, a psychiatric counselor, also on the bargaining team. She says they just want equity.
None of us are in this field for the money, obviously. Otherwise, we would have chosen very different professions, right? We're healers, we're helpers, we're fixers. But we 100% want to be valued and respected, and we are grossly undervalued compared to the medical side of this business, which to some extent you expect. But Kaiser perpetuates this inequity, and then, you know, touting all of this investment that they're doing into mental health, but then, you know, grossly understaffing their departments. We have, you know, 40% less mental health workers in Southern California than they do in Northern California, and we have 200K more worker and more members in our system. So it's a real breakdown.
Kaiser says the strike is unnecessary and not surprising. It says it will provide timely access to patients during the strike. Both sides meet again Wednesday.
Billions and billions of dollars have been spent on this year's presidential election. We're going to go in depth and where that money is going and if it's worth anything. That's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON 40333 for a free case review.
Yeah. What's the rap verse? The police, that's how I see him. Rage Against the Machine.
Those are the words from a candidate running for L.A. City Council, Isabel Jurado. She is catching some heat for those words about local police. She was asked about her stance on local law enforcement during a small meet-and-greet event with some college students at Cal State LA. Her opponent, Councilmember Kevin De Leon, used discretionary funding on the 14th District to pay for overtime for officers. But he has also himself been embroiled in a hot mic scandal in the past. With us now is Hernan Molina. He's an LA-based political analyst for Estrella TV. Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for the invitation.
So the irony here, I think, does not escape anyone who has been paying attention that Kevin De Leon is, of course, naturally, as you would, criticize his opponent for being caught on tape, making those comments when he himself was caught on tape. Should he not add something to the effect of, and I should know?
Of course he should. But you're asking a politician to be consistent. And unfortunately, I think politicians tend to forget their own mistakes, especially when it is convenient, correct?
And what's Jurado's play here? I mean, given that, you know, the cat is out of the bag as far as her opinion on this discretionary funding for the LAPD, should she just go ahead and double down on that position and play the game out?
Well, I don't know that she should double down, because in this context where Prop 36, and Prop 36 for those who are listening, it's the proposition that is proposing to change what Prop 47 became by changing and reducing the sentencing guidelines for those who commit robberies below $950. And therefore, as we see the attacks in retailers like Target and pharmacies, people are obviously really mad, and they're supporting the changes in the law, which is Prop 36. And also, if you see what's happening with the local DA race, where Gascon, who is pro-justice reform and in line with Prop 47, and his opponent running 30 points ahead of him, this will probably be a ground where the police and people who favor more policing will probably go for a candidate that supports more funding for the police, for more cops on the street. So Jurado could have a difficult time overcoming Kevin De Leon, who has stood with the police officers and the police league, of course. So this is obviously something that she really needs to clarify now, and then try for the best that this will not come back to haunt her.
If you had to compare the two, Kevin De Leon's hot mic moment from a couple of years ago and Jurado's hot mic moment caught just recently, which is worse, and how do they compare?
Well, I think it was much worse for Kevin DeLeon in the sense that Kevin DeLeon had a long career as someone who was admired and someone who was supported by people in the Democratic Party and progressives in general. And that really tainted his reputation and doing, unfortunately, the great work that he has done. For Jurado, who is a newcomer, it may cost her the election, but that doesn't mean that her political future is necessarily tarnished. It's something that perhaps many people in that district, which have had difficult times with policing and policing that has been at times focused on racial profiling in a district where there is a large concentration of Latinos and minorities, her comments may resonate with a big part of the electorate, but how big it is, it depends to be seen, and that will be the electoral correct.
All right, Hernan Molina, LA-based political analyst for Estrella TV, thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely.
There's already been an insane amount of spending on this presidential election. We're going to get much more from a former official with the Federal Election Commission coming up on Nonstop News at 5.
Campaign 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
We are 2 weeks out from the election. A lot of money being thrown around. Elon Musk says he's offering a $1 million giveaway every day to registered voters in swing states. More than $16 billion in campaign cash projected to be spent on this cycle, making this the most expensive election season in U.S. history. Earlier today, Charles Feldman, Margaret Quero talked with an expert from the governing body that tracks all those campaign dollars.
Ellen Weintraub is vice chair of the Federal Election Commission, where she's tasked with policing how all of that money is raised and spent. She's a Democrat, has served three times as chair of the FEC, and has been on the commission since 2002. Ellen, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
We'll get into more detail in a minute about the $16 billion, which is phenomenal. But I got to get to the Elon Musk thing first, because I get it that he's saying that this $1 million that he's giving away every day, he says, is technically going to people who register to vote and supporting a particular PAC, not a particular candidate. But he makes no bones about the fact that he is, by any definition, a Donald Trump supporter. Why does this sound to some like trying to buy a vote?
Well, I want to be clear that we do not have enforcement authority at the FEC over the laws that people keep citing in relation to this. And I'm not going to weigh in on whether what he's doing is legal or not legal. There are federal criminal laws, and there are also many state laws that state that you cannot pay somebody, you cannot pay money to get somebody to vote or not vote, or to vote or not vote for a particular individual, or to register to vote or not register to vote. Now, how that law would be implemented by the criminal authorities who are charged with it, I am not going to weigh in on.
We're up to $16 billion is what the projected cost of this particular election is going to end up being, probably even more than that. How does anybody keep track of that kind of money?
It is a challenge, but we do have a great staff, and we are helped by the fact that when reports are filed by every candidate, every political committee, every party committee, they file reports with us on a regular basis. Most of those reports are filed electronically, and through the magic of IT and electronics, they are instantly posted to our website. So people can see that money coming in on an ongoing basis. We also have a great staff that review those reports. Believe it or not, we review every single report, and we reach out to committees that are that look like maybe they didn't file the right information on their report, or there's some something that's incomplete about the report, and we will ask them for additional information in that case. It is kind of remarkable, and we do all this with the money keeps going up, as you've noted, over every election cycle. Our funding has been relatively flat over the last number of years, and we have a staff of under 300 people, and yet we still manage to keep tabs on how much money is being raised and spent.
You can catch a replay of Countdown 2024 tonight at 8. KNX News drops a new live episode every weekday at 2:30 leading up to the election. Charles Feldman and Margaret Quero talk to key players, national and local races, so you can get all the facts. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. That's your Nonstop News at 5 for Monday, October 21st, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review. Look at your money now. Bloomberg's Tracy Junkie.
Bed Bath & Beyond has not disappeared entirely since its bankruptcy shut down last year. The past year saw Overstock purchase the brand and reopen bedbathandbeyond.com. A deal announced in the past week will put Bed Bath & Beyond merchandise at the Container Store, and a new deal will see the name reappear above brick-and-mortar stores run by the home goods retailer Kirkland's. Wall Street believes the company behind Tylenol and Band-Aid needs an intervention. Stock in Kenvue, a former unit of Johnson & Johnson, jumped the most since August, as reports said activist investor Starboard is getting involved. Other Kenvue brands include Aveeno and Neutrogena skincare products, and its sales in that area have been lagging the industry. On Wall Street, the Dow and S&P lagged with losses between 0.2% and 0.8%, while the NASDAQ climbed 50 points or 0.25%. The Dow fell 344 points, the S&P down 11. I'm Bloomberg's Tracy Junkie, KNX News 97.1 FM.